And I feel like that word hazing, it can also mean like, it's just like an umbrella term for making someone do something they don't want to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also have pledged some of the lines that have come through. Yeah, you always hear those stories, fraternity stories, but at least for me, for the process, it was, if it doesn't make you better, it's not worth it. If this doesn't improve you as a person, then why are we doing it?
Is it always straightforward, or is it like where like Mr. Miyagi makes you wax on, wax off, and that gives you something else that you didn't see before? Is it like that, or is it
see a different perspective?
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. My name is Michael, and I'm one of your co-hosts for this podcast. And always with me, Robert Din.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts. We got a couple guests today. Normally, we have just one guest, but we have double trouble today.
This is a special episode, you know.
Yeah.
So with us, we have a good college friend of mine, Ryan Valdez, and Giancarlo Francini, and fellow graduate, Gator graduates.
Yeah, all Gators today on the podcast.
Actually, all Gators today. Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, this is the first time on. So before we kick it off, what are you guys drinking? Ryan, you want to start off?
I'm drinking a nice cup of Heineken you left from.
I left.
You left, or wow. You ordered for our game night.
Game night, yeah, and he's drinking it out of
red solo cup. Solo cup, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to have labels and stuff
here. There we go.
It's a blast from the past. It's like these guys just had a beer pong game or something,
right? Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Is that what you guys are doing with the Heineken at Ryan's house?
Nah, we had a game night. We took a chill.
Casual.
Very casual. How about you, Giancarlo? What are you doing?
So this is one of my personal favorites. It's it's a Golden Monkey. It's from Victory. I really like it. You know, it's one of these like one and done kind of drinks, or two and dones.
So you just zip it? You don't chug it?
No. This isn't like Heineken, you know? Yeah, this is not used for beer pong. This is more like, you know, chilling at home.
Chilling at home, have a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert, what are you drinking tonight? Are you going to finish your bottle today?
I don't know about finish a bottle, but I mean, I have a bottle that I just opened.
Dang.
It's Donaldson Rosé, sparkling rosé. But yeah.
It's Monday, you know? Come on, rosé on Monday.
Monday, yeah. We just get it ready because we have Karen's birthday in a couple of days. So I'll drink rest of it then.
That's true. Well, I'm taking it easy, you know? I'm just having my typical matcha tea. So taking it easy, simple, non-alcohol. I don't drink, guys. You know that. So
he says this, but every episode we've had this year, he's had Kahlua in his coffee. Every single episode.
Oh, not every episode. Cheater. Not every episode.
I want to say most episodes.
All right. So let's jump into this. So Ryan, GC, thanks for hopping on with us. I think today's topic is we're gonna start discussing, you know, college, right? Let's go back, way back.
Go back.
What, 10 years back. Now? 10 years? 12 years?
It's more than that. Oof. Now, right?
More than 10. More than 10.
Hey.
Let's
round it up. Let's round it up.
12 to 13 years.
There we go.
Yeah.
But let's start with, first of all, when you guys chose University of Florida to go to school, did you guys had a choice, or what was your thought process, first of all? Like, why UF in the first place?
Sure. You go, Ryan. You first.
All right. Well, honestly, my sister went to Santa Fe for a couple of years, and I visited when I was like a freshman in high school. Mm. And my dad absolutely hates the Gators. Like,
really?
Like,
wow!
Extremely hates the Gators. Like, he hated
Is it a Kane fan?
Yeah, he went to UM for
that
a couple semesters on that. But he's like a huge, like, no Gators, anything orange and blue. He hated them. Basically. basically because they flopped in a football game, and it's just like this whole ordeal. So he hated that. But I was a freshman in high school, and I was like, oh, let me go visit my sister. Let me go check it out. And her ex-boyfriend at the time, like, took me out to the bars and stuff. And when I came out, I just saw, like, everybody just partying and going out. And I was like, I need to come here. It's away. I liked the school. I liked how it looked. And I was just like, this is somewhere where I can see myself. And it just happened that I kind of had like an early view of
college experience a little bit
of UF, just UF specifically through my high school. So I got to visit the school and I slept in a dorm.
Oh, you did a preview thing, right?
Yeah. But it was like a before preview. It was a Hispanic scholar thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
So I actually got like a early, I just forgot the word. I basically got to apply early. So if I didn't get into UF, I could apply to any school because I still had time. So I just
applied. It was like an early decision?
Like early application. So you apply earlier than everyone else. And then I applied for that. And then what I think got me in personally, well, one, my cousin went to UF. And then my principal actually wrote my recommendation letter.
That's awesome. Wow, you had your principal to write your recommendation letter?
Yeah. He only wrote it for like three people in the school.
That's pretty awesome.
So I think that really helped me
That's crazy.
Get into UF.
So UF was your number one choice. You really wanted to go there.
I really wanted UF. I wanted to stay in the state. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if I could go to UM, if there's the money.
Of course. The scholarship type of deal. Like that,
I had scholarship and stuff. It wasn't really that much of a concern, but I preferred to like kind of go away a little bit.
Yeah.
Was that your backup school, UM?
I prefer UM because I hated FSU. I hated FSU since I was a kid. Because I was a Kane fan growing up, and then it's like,
of course,
you go to UM.
You have to hate UCF. Yeah.
And then I just hated FSU.
Of course.
I guess it's the worst of two evils, right?
basically.
How about you, GC?
So I similar to Ryan, I actually just learned this about you today. I actually did the same thing. I applied early through that early admission program, like some sort of Hispanic scholars thing, and I remember I got to apply pretty early, which is good. And it's good because I guess it gave me an edge, but it was also bad because I found out at a different time than other people who applied normally. So I remember when I initially, when people were finding out if they got into UF or not, I remember everyone at school talking about it, and I didn't get my decision. So I assumed I didn't get in.
Oh, and you got yours later than everyone else.
Oh, so you had yours later, this decision. Wow.
It was weird. Yeah. And I remember being super bummed out. But on Christmas Day, 2005, I found out, and I was super
on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
What a present.
Yeah, it was really cool. I remember, I mean, I feel like this might have been recent where you could check your status online, you know, because back, like, I don't know, I feel like back in the early 2000s, online was sort of new, especially for like university things like signing up for classes. But anyway, so I wanted to stay in Florida. I also applied to pretty much every school in Florida. And I remember just Florida was my first choice because of the one, because it was far from home. I didn't want to relatively. Yeah.
Relatively
I didn't want to go to UM. Yeah. I didn't want to go to UM because, you know, it was close enough, you know, that my parents would be like, oh, you know, we're going to come visit for the whole weekend. And that would have been a huge bummer. Like, you know, my mom's home. I can't party with you guys, you know?
Yeah.
And like Florida State, I mean, was sort of like a backup. But I think I would have been pretty bummed out. It would have felt like just like settling, like, oh, I guess I'll go to Florida State kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you guys didn't apply to any out of state schools?
I did not, no.
I literally only applied to UF.
No. Oh wow!
So risky.
Oh man!
All in, because, all in. That's why it is all in.
Because I still had time to apply after.
That's true.
Other schools if I didn't get in, so I was like, screw it.
Wait, but did you?
It.
did you get your admissions like letter later than everyone else too, or is it just GC?
I can't remember. I want to say that people that were around me weren't getting in, and I was like, oh crap. But how I found out, actually, I had a basketball game, and I came home, and like my family opened my letter, so I didn't open my own letter.
Jesus, and then there was like block.
Yeah, and then they like had all like balloons and stuff, and I was like, well, thank you for that. I didn't get to have that experience.
But I think when I for me, like, it was like when the packet was like big, I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, as soon as the packages for something, someone that got rejected versus someone
really
who did
smaller
it, yeah, you just get a letter if it's rejection, right? And if not, you get a packet. And so I got the packet and I was like, all right, I'm in.
So you didn't bother opening it? Did you?
I opened it, but I was like, I'm in. Like, this packet means I'm in for sure.
Oh, nice. So wait, GC, did you end up spending the night at UF for that, because that you did that program as well?
Yeah, I remember it was kind of like a double thing. That program, you got to visit the school early.
Yeah.
And I do remember staying at Broward. And then, yeah, and then preview. So, yeah.
Gotcha. So wait, Robert, did you apply end up out of state school? Or did you also just apply to UF?
No, I, like, UF was my first backup, I guess. I first applied to Duke because I did this when I was in high school. There was this thing at Duke that I did. And I was like, oh yeah, I want to go to Duke. So then I applied to Duke, and then I was waiting because like I wanted to apply to MIT as well to see if I could get in, and I got like references and all kinds of stuff, but I got my rejection from Duke first. Like, I think my early admissions application was to Duke. So then I applied and I got rejected from there, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm not getting MIT if I didn't get it. So I just didn't apply to MIT at all. And then
so you didn't apply at all, you're saying?
Not to MIT, because once I got rejected from Duke, I was like, there's no way I'm getting in.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe they can make a mistake or something. But yeah, I was like, so I applied to UF. I applied to Rollins College as like my last choice. And then I actually got my Rollins College admission, like acceptance first. And I was like, oh man, I got in. I got into college. And then I took it to my dad or my parents. And I was like, hey, I got into college. And they're like, how much is Rollins College? And it's like a private school. And they're like, and I was like, told them, and they're like, how are we going to pay for that? Like, why did you apply to this place? And I was like, they shut it down so quick. And I was like, man, this is not as fun as I thought, as everyone else says. But yeah, I got into UF and I was like, all right, that's the spot. Like, I was like, that was the spot. And it was mainly because I wanted to get into the medical field. So I wanted, like, I guess every other Asian kid.
So back then you wanted to get into the medical field, I see.
As like every other Asian kid, like, you got to go be a doctor or pharmacist or something in medical field. So I was like, best medical school is UF, and that's what I was gonna apply to.
So what did you, I guess have you visited the campus beforehand?
Mm-mm. I had no idea even what it looked like until,
yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I did was like look up rankings, and I was like, all right, I'm going to the top ranked school.
So I did something similar, but my out-of-state school was Berkeley. But I got waitlist but I did early decision actually for UF just in case. Mm. The reason why I chose UF is because I went to rankings. Okay, you know what? This is going to be my backup school. Yeah. And then I ended up applying a bunch of scholarships, the Gator Club scholarship, things like that. So I was like, you know what? Just whatever in-state school gets the most scholarship. And so once I found out I got waitlisted from Berkeley, I was like, you know what? Hopefully UF gives me the most money. And my backup school was actually UCF. I got rejected from UCF.
You got rejected from UCF?
Yeah. I got rejected from UCF. And then FSU gave me some money. And then UF gave me the most money. And I was like, this is a no-brainer. So,
yeah.
But my first night, it was preview night, actually, at UF.
Me too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is such a cool campus.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I got there, and I was like, I stayed at Broward for a preview, too. Yeah. And then I stayed there for my freshman year. That was my dorm.
But I mean, I didn't experience that party scene like Ryan did, you know, as college and stuff. So like,
me either.
I was my first party. Literally, I remember like even in high school party. My high school party was like a mediocre party. Once I remember my first real party. Like, I remember second week of UF. That was some frat party. It was like
wow.
It was just nuts, you know. So like, I'm sure Ryan, though, you went to a high school who probably threw crazy parties, though, right?
Yeah. So yeah. You know, like, so my high school was pretty well off. I mean, we've had like A-Rod went to it for like the first year. He got cut from the baseball team. So
he got cut from the baseball team.
Yeah, that's like the school. Like, we knew our trainer for sports was the guy who cut him. So we'll always be like, how did you cut A-Rod? Wow. So he still actually throws like basketball tournaments a lot of times. And that's what we would like, he'll show up to it and like watch a couple games or whatnot.
That's like the high school that like didn't let Jordan onto the basketball, like cut Jordan.
Yeah. Like our high school is really good at football. So we have like a couple people in the NFL. It's just one of those sports schools you go to. Mm-hmm. So I completely lost my train of thought. What was your question?
Oh, no. So your experience of high school partying versus, you know, my high school party. Like, I was like a complete nerd. I was just following the gifted kids. I think one of the reasons why I applied to Berkeley, because this other girl applied to Berkeley too.
Well, my high school parties would be like, we had cops outside. Like, you had to like pay to get in. It was mansion parties. It was actually one of my friends I grew up with that would throw a lot of those type of parties. And then we had, we actually got in trouble. Well, a couple years ago, there was like this whole thing about like a high school having animals come to their prom.
What?
And it was like tigers or whatever. It was my high school.
Really? You guys had tigers at prom?
Yeah. I mean, it was later on. And like, I wasn't in high school, obviously, but I was just like, crazy. Oh man, you guys messed up. You guys messed up so bad.
Wait, GC. Let me ask you this. So GC though, did you have the same experience as Ryan did during high school or no?
No, not at all. I was pretty much a nerd. I was pretty much an outcast. It was a very small high school. Yeah. If I had a girlfriend, I was always the girlfriend. I never really partied too much. So like when I went to UF, man, it was such a huge culture shock. I mean, when I went to Gainesville, I remember hating it. I was like, yo, Gainesville is weird. Cause I grew up in Plantation, Florida.
Yeah.
So it's like super suburbs. Everything's like nice and kind of newish. Mm-hmm. And in Gainesville, everything was just like, you know, older.
Mm-hmm. Southern style.
Southern styles. Yeah. The people were totally different. There was not really a lot of like Latino, Hispanic culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that I even identified with that too much, but it was something that I could at least sort of cling on to.
It was like a little bit in the wilderness in a sense, and with a Southern culture, and you'd never been before. That's how I felt when I went.
Yeah. And also because I went to such a small high school, there was only like one or two other people who went there too. So like we probably hung out very briefly towards the beginning.
Gotcha.
And it was basically just me, you know, making friends in class or just exploring really. At the time I was dating this girl who had also gotten into UCF. And I remember towards the beginning, we would visit each other pretty frequently.
So your freshman year. You were driving back and forth from each other?
So you weren't really in Gainesville on the weekends too much.
Exactly. Yeah. So this was summer B. I remember starting summer B. And that was all, you know, strategically planned because, you know, you're out of the house.
School,
you're with the girlfriend. So it's like, what else are you going to do? Yeah. You know, you're going to visit each other. So,
So wait, Ryan, was your experience your first time UF like was like that, like the culture shock too?
Actually, I didn't really party that much in high school. So I actually was like DD every weekend. I don't think I ever got drunk till I was like 18. No, I really didn't drink till I was like 18. And then I didn't really even drink my early years until I was like 21 and actually legal to drink.
You don't have to be PC on here, you know. I've already told the audience that I quit drinking before I was 21.
Well, because I had like a cop father, so a lot of that like still stuck in my head, and like you're always like being watched no matter what. Like there was one time when I had my motorcycle in college that I drove on the highway in Miami, and my dad specifically was like, "Don't ride it on the highway." And then when I got back home, he was like, "So I heard you were on the highway."
Oh my god!
What?
What?
Because all the cops are watching.
Oh, cops. Like, his cop buddies.
He was head of personnel, so he basically hired, fired, did all of that.
That's crazy.
So, wow. Like, all the cops knew who he was, and it was just one of those things where you're just like, if you get in trouble,
they know.
You can kind of get out of it, but at the same time, he will know.
He will know.
You'll get in trouble when you get back home.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, from a culture standpoint, though, was UF expected the way you expected it going to UF, like that Southern style, that from Miami? You know how it is. Miami's very Hispanic, right? You actually lived in Miami. Yeah. So
for me, culturally, until I started working there and going to the outskirts, culturally, yeah, it didn't really affect me so much because people think I'm white anyways.
That's
so
true.
It's like when I get in a Lyft or Uber, they always talk to me in English and and then they talk shit in Spanish, and I'm like, okay, I know what you're saying. So it didn't really culture shock me because the shock I had was when I first visited as a freshman. I saw like people arrested on the ground, partying, like cops were on their horses, like 10 horse cops, people just tied up, hogtied, like all across the grass.
Jesus.
And I'm like, yeah, so my experience was like, man, it's calmed down in the past 4 years.
It's calmed down.
But then when I got to the outskirts and started working, then I started seeing like people were like, oh, you have an accent. And I'm like, I have an accent. I don't understand. Like, I've never had an accent in my life. They're like, are you Mexican? I'm like, oh, no. I would always get kind of response. And I'm like, no, I'm Cuban, blah, blah, blah. I start having to explain everything. So the culture shock was more of the outskirts. I always felt like UF was a bubble, and once you got out of that, it was really—that's
true.
Really,
I
because Gainesville is like it's like basically it's a school, like the school is the whole city almost. Yeah. Until you get to the very outskirts,
like Newberry. Once you go to Newberry or even further out, like that's where, what's it called? That Garden Place, all the way in the west. I forgot. Like where the some place was, Robert? Like the Asian place, there's a garden. What's called?
I don't know what.
I don't remember. It's like really far west.
I haven't been to Gainesville in so long.
Yeah,
but it was definitely a college town, and so like everything revolved around the college.
Yeah.
Well, I remember my first time, like literally, like going to classes, things like that. Even just experiencing, I was like, damn, I never seen so many white people all at once. Like, you know, like.
Oh,
I
really? Wow.
I went to like a kind of Jewish gifted school, but there was a lot of Hispanic Jewish people there. There was it's a mix, you know? But literally like, holy crap. Like, and you meet people from different out of state, things like that. Like, so for me, like, I remember seeing sorority girls rushing and I was like, what's going on? So I was there for summer B as well. And I got a dorm job. I told myself, you know what? I'm going to be myself in college. I'm going to put myself in every single situation to meet new people no matter what. So I told myself, so I got a desk job at the dorms. So I had to hand out keys, you know, check people in, you know, dealing with drunk people, things like that. But at least I got to meet people. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing like, you know, a bunch of white girls running. And I'm like, what's going on in the Norman Field? And, you know, so back in the day, so the sorority girls usually get the envelopes. And they had to run to the houses in Norman Field, into the houses. That's what happened. And it was a show, pretty much. And I was like, what's going on here? This is nuts. This is crazy. I never seen 1,000 girls in one, you know, one field together, just running around. So.
Yeah. I mean, that to me was also pretty, it's a beautiful thing to see because it just shows how like it's such a university tradition.
Yeah.
But it's also, again, another culture shock, like something I never would have expected.
Yeah.
Another thing that I didn't know was my high school was super not that into sports. Like we didn't even have a football team. So So like when people were going crazy with the tailgates, I was like, what the heck is going on? And that to me was crazy because I didn't even really grow up watching sports at all.
Yeah.
Like, not even my dad watched soccer or anything. So for me, everything, I feel like once you go to college and especially UF, you're basically sucked into that realm of athletics and sports and the prestige.
So you didn't know anything about football at all going to UF?
Nothing.
Me neither.
People me neither. Ask me like, oh, did you sign up for the lottery for the season tickets? I'm like, no, why would I do that? Like, I don't care.
I thought it was mandatory. So I applied by accident. because I was like, oh, $75 for a season ticket. I was like, I really have to pay for this. I don't even know about football. I don't even know, like, but I remember vividly my first game, section 25, row 32, literally like on the corner next to the band. Huh?
What was the seat number?
I don't remember the number, but I remember, I remember section because it was right next to the band, and my roommate just dragged me out. It was a night game too. And just that energy, that crowd. I remember Chris Lick being the quarterback, but it was just, for me, I had no idea what was going on. So I just didn't know the game, but just the energy and that tradition there just drew me in for me.
Ryan, did you also have like was there like a lot of high school sports going on that you had it, or was there also a culture shock there?
Well, high school sports wise, we have a big rivalry with, you guys, I think, all know Mario. So Mario and my high school were rivals. We were like both boys schools, and we actually would sell out before FIU did their football stadium. We sold out their FIU basketball arena stadium.
Wow.
And we were the first ones to have a game in the Marlins stadium. And we sell out those games because it's like 10,000 people, 5,000 people.
Jesus Christ.
Because it's like, it's almost like UF. So that culture shock didn't really matter. Uh-huh. But for college to pro games, because I had season tickets growing up my whole life too. I would say that college games like blew my mind when I actually first went. And I didn't go till after we won all the champions, when we started sucking again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you missed out the good old days.
I missed out all the good days.
Yeah.
So, like, that's when I applied, because I worked a lot, especially on Saturdays, so I didn't really was like, there's no point of this kind of deal. It was completely different energy. I'm used to sitting all game.
Yeah.
Sitting next to old people, which is
You stand up. You don't sit down, man.
Always. There's like,
I remember those noon games, man, all day long, all four quarters, those noon games.
So I'm used to sitting with like all these old people around me, and the only guy who sat next to me actually is from UF, and he goes to the UF games, and then he drives back for the Dolphin games the next day.
Wow.
Like, that's how dedicated he is. But he'd rather go to the UF game than a Dolphin game. Like, he'll show up halfway.
I think the energy is just better. I think maybe it's a SEC thing. But like,
that's true too. I think it could be an SEC thing as well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like college game, there's more passion.
For sure.
And I mean, and anything can happen. There's just anything can happen, you know?
Yeah.
That's for sure, though.
I'm here in San Francisco now, and there's like college football games going on, and nobody cares. Like,
really?
Nobody cares. And I'm like, it's like, so me and my friend Sandy went to Auburn, right? So the two of us, we're in the building, and every Saturday we go watch football games, and we're like, oh, it's football. It's like football day.
Football,
we're gonna go.
Yeah, football Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta go watch football. And nobody else cared unless it was national championship. And like, I'm looking around, like, Stanford is here. Like, people go to Stanford. They like they have a good football team. And then Berkeley's here. Their football team is not good. So I guess that's why. It's because there's not really too much going on. But like, yeah, I know the difference between like the over here in the West Coast versus Southeast, the football is real.
It could be. No, I agree. It's definitely a Southern thing as well. The culture is definitely big. Obviously, I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything about that rivalry though, right?
Yeah.
So for me, my freshman year, I was obviously, everyone's exploring, trying to learn different things. I never, going back to the whole sorority thing, I didn't know that was the tradition, right? So I didn't know there was frats like that either. Like, there were, you had to, as a freshman, you can go to different frats, experience different houses, to experience, just to experience different culture of each of the frat, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have their own tradition, each of those frat. So I remember going back to my, original story, I went to my first frat party as a freshman year, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? There's so many people. And it was one of the frat houses. I'm trying to remember, it was the Sig Ep, I think it was. And then I didn't know you could rush into this at that time as a freshman. My friend just
Wait, how did you think that people got in? They just Sign up.
I don't know. but I didn't find out more details about it until the following spring, but it was already too late already. So I didn't. So for me, I didn't rush until sophomore year. But I think you guys, though, you guys, when did you guys rush for your own frat? And since is how you guys met, right? I'm guessing.
Ours was a little different because. Yeah. So I met our friend Diego through a class, and then they were actually. He was telling me, oh, we're starting up a frat.
Oh.
So that's how we kind of, and then they, like, everybody got together, and that's how I met GC, basically. And we actually spent, like, 3 years or something trying to open up expansion to UF for fraternities and sororities. Mm-hmm. And then they let us in. So it actually took us 3 years, and then we got pledged by people out of state.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so for those who don't know the difference between a multicultural frat versus a Greek frat, can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure, yeah. So in the frat world, there's different councils. Yeah. You have your traditional, you know, like American Pie, you know, frat house fraternities. Those are called, I think that's called
IFC.
Yeah.
Interfraternal Council.
Yeah, Interfraternal Council. Then you have your Panhellenic Council, I believe that was the sororities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you have your the traditional Black fraternities,
NPHC. And sororities,
NPHCs.
They're called the Divine Nine because there's nine of them.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, your multicultural, you know, Greek organizations, which is what we were doing. One thing to be clear is also that. What our goal was to bring a chapter of an already existing fraternity. It wasn't like a brand new one.
You're saying existing in other colleges, you just want to bring the chapter into UF.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly, yeah. And, you know, at the time, because this was like, you know, 2006, 2010, which is like, you know, UF was hot, right? You know, top on the map, winning championships, natties, all that. So, you know, the organization was like, yo, let's help these guys out. You know, let's see what we can do to help these gentlemen essentially bring this chapter there. Yeah.
So you guys started it.
Other multicultural fraternities there that you could have joined?
Yeah, definitely.
Why did you decide to start a new one instead of joining one that was already there?
So for me, the situation is just the way that it happened. To be honest, like I'm a very shy person. Like I didn't really want to, I wasn't really super outgoing. And I do remember I became really good friends with my preview staffer. You know, he's the one who kind of helps you sign up with classes. And I remember he reached out to me. This was already like towards my first year. So freshman year in the wintertime. He's like, hey, listen, you know, I'm starting this club. Do you want to come, we're having a meeting, would you like to join? And so basically what I didn't know he was doing, he was basically recruiting me. Mm-hmm. And so that's my first time meeting Ryan and my other frat brothers. And you know, I trusted him a lot. He was a good friend. He didn't seem like the kind of person who just wanted me to just waste my time or it's like he had this vision and he wanted to make it a reality, and he essentially just like chose people that he encountered because he's a preview staffer, so he sees people coming in and out of the school. And so he's like, you know, I think you along with these group of gentlemen will be good to, you know, help me start this thing. So that's how it was with me.
Gotcha. So I mean, obviously, you know, starting something takes a while, and establish, you know, also starting a good foundation, because you need that glue, that foundation to build that little bit of a culture, right? So that would be, because after you establish that, you gotta bring the right recruits in, things like that. So let me ask you guys this: I guess it took you 3 years, right, to establish this, right?
Yeah.
Like, what was the challenge of that? I'm just wondering. Like, what was the biggest challenge?
Man. So at the time, I remember there were, because we were a party school and like literally in that time frame, it was really hard to bring in new organizations because the university is like, well, you guys just want to party hard. I already know you guys are just trying to make a club.
So do you think this is an excuse to party is what it was?
Yeah, but not only that, but also people were really, even the people who were trying to, who were in charge of the expansion, they themselves were in frats too.
Okay.
And they didn't want, and I felt like there was a sense of like them not wanting to expand, because maybe that just, they didn't want the school to just have so many frats and sorors, even though like Florida State had like more, or like UM might have had more. And I remember we always had to make a case with the university saying, you know, we're pretty legit. We have members. We have our academics. We do community service. Mm-hmm. And that was all a thing. Like you basically have to give them a reason to believe you as to why you really want to bring it onto campus.
So did you guys have hearings and stuff like that? Is that how it worked?
Sort of, yeah. It was, I just remember it being a lot of meetings, right? Gotcha. Like it wasn't, and there, I remember there were times where I thought to myself, you know, why am I even going through this effort? Like I could have literally probably tried to join, like I said, like an IFC fraternity, yeah, and just, you know, gone and partied hard and met some girls and called it a day, you know.
It just shows leadership, man. GC just shows leadership. It's good for the resume, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, that was also another reason, you know, like, yeah, it looks good on your, you know, your CV, your resume, saying like I brought something to university, and basically that's my legacy, you know.
So mm-hmm. Did you guys had to bring, if you brought the frat, did you had to bring, you helped to help the sorority side of things? Because I thought you had that one-to-one matching, or no?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't remember.
I don't think so. I don't remember. Like, your fraternity has nothing to do with somebody else's sorority.
Because I thought there was
always like a
keep
sister.
The even ratio.
There's always, yeah, a there's sister always like a and sister. Brother. Type, yeah, of thing, right?
I mean, there's, so we have a sister sorority, but they actually started the same time we did at FSU.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So like it was kind of like our sister sorority nationally was starting over there, but we didn't really have anybody
on campus
at Florida on campus.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is that we started as an interest group, so okay, like you kind of get help from the fraternity, but you start as an interest group. So you actually kind of act like a fraternity, but you don't. So you do like events to try to get your name out there so people know that you're trying to. Mm-hmm. So because they vote on it, it kind of tells them, hey, like these guys are trying. They're not just here to party. They're doing service. They're doing
added value. That's what it is.
Adding value to campus. And that's what I think really helped us throughout the years, because people started recognizing us as an actual entity that was, yeah, on campus, and then they had a vote on it. So it's like, yeah, hey, we care about these guys. They're good people.
Come so the student council had the vote on that, is what you're saying, right? And because obviously you probably need a budget for that, right? Like you guys needed funding, I'm guessing. How did that work?
Do you guys get funding from the school when you join? When they approve you?
Yeah.
We don't get, like, we pay our fees, and that's what pays for our stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, they don't actually pay
money or anything. It doesn't really hurt them to have another fraternity on campus.
So, I think a little bit of what it is that it might be a little bit of politics, because if you that's have more fraternities and sororities, they're taken away from your own brotherhood, sisterhood.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. It's probably
so
that.
Totally.
There's part of that. And then part of it is you're bringing in more and more people partying. That's more liability, you know, especially during that time of when we were entering.
Gotcha. So like, so year one, how many people were there in that originally at the club? Like when you guys joined? You, GZ, who else?
There's... I want to say 20? A couple people dropped out. I can at least think of one.
So what I'll say is, like, when we became an actual fraternity, there were 13 founding members.
Okay.
So, you know, just add give
so
or
that's
take.
So that's year three, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there was, there's got to be, like, upperclassmen who graduated before you became a frat too, right?
Yeah, that was, I remember that being another thing. They're like, you know, we're not a frat yet, and I'm about to graduate, but they still stuck around.
So now, when you guys visited back the UF, how big is the frat now? Like, what's the last thing? Just wondering. Just curious.
I mean, every year it varies. Like, I'll go to a game every year.
Yeah.
But the last time I was there was about 2 years ago when we beat LSU at home. And I remember seeing these guys, and they were partying so hard. I remember being so jealous of them, because I was like, they were shotgunning beers. They had a, like, they basically had like this legit table to make drinks, and you know, they're making drinks with like another sorority. Nice. And I was like, yo man,
so it's gelling, like, it was going really well.
Yeah.
I mean there are some years where like they don't recruit as much as we wish, but as they wish, but like, you know, it's still there, and you know, we try to help out as much as we can, you know. But they do know our names, which is cool. They're like, oh man, you're a founder, oh my god, I have to know your name, like things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that's pretty cool. I mean, seeing that 10 years, 12 years later, just still there, something that you found it. So that's good, though.
Yeah, they remember our names and stuff like that. It's just like you learn who the founders are and the charter members. So they'll be like, I'll walk up. I go there kind of often. So it's just like, if I do hang out with them or whatever, like, they're like, they'll be like, who's this old guy with us? And then it's like, oh, that's our number four from the family line. And then they're like trying to like think back in their heads of like, oh, who's number four? Yeah. And then they'll be like, oh, Sir Joker kind of thing. And it's like, it's cool to like, you feel like you've brought something to people, to other generations. And like 10 years later, there's people there that have benefited from what you have accomplished.
Wait, why do they call you Sir Joker?
So like in a lot of like fraternities, sororities, there's like line names. So it's like it's like your nickname. Mm. And we're knights, so we get knighted, and then we have like our nickname. So I'll be Sir Joker because I was like, I like to play pranks and joke around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then GC has his own.
Yeah, GC, what's yours? I'm curious now.
I am Sir Mafioso.
Mafioso. Really?
Yeah.
Oh man. You don't want to mess with him.
I actually, this is the first time I'm finding out about this, GC, so
yeah, it's not one of those things I really like flaunt or talk about. Because it's not something I'm proud of, it's just, you know, college stuff, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
You don't, you, not all your like screen names and like all your usernames are not like Sir Joker and stuff like that.
That's why my Instagram is like that, because I made it in college and I haven't even used it till like last year, and I have like pictures.
So you just kept it.
Yep.
Wow.
So okay, let me ask you this, you know, obviously, you know, the challenge, which you guys went through the challenges, you know, to starting that up, like culture wise though, like, is that what you guys envision, like, not looking back, just wondering, like, or do you guys, or was it, or did it came out to be totally something different, just wondering from that frat? And by the way, I don't think Robert knows the frat name, so tell him.
Omega Delta Phi.
Omega Delta Phi.
Yeah, OD5 for short.
Uh-huh. OD5, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I remember when I was, like, when we were founding it, my train of thought was like, I just hope people have fun with it, you know? I remember having to sit through so many meetings and hating it so much because it wasn't just a typical frat meeting. It was like, we had to like meet for literally everything. Like, it consumed so much of our time. And
how to spend the money, how to recruit, how to do market it, all the things.
Yeah,
like that. The
planning. I remember Robert's Rules of Orders, and I was like, OMG, this is like, I feel like we're trying too hard. And there were times where it wasn't fun, you know? And, but we had put so much work into it that it was one of those things where you can't just abandon, you know, like, especially after so many years. And like, we felt like we were so close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we wanted it to be a place where people felt included and they wanted to be happy, with just being able to serve the community or just be happy being themselves, knowing that they wouldn't be judged for being who they are, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, so is this a multicultural frat designated for, I guess, when you guys went to recruit people, right? Did you guys just recruit anyone? How did that work? Because how do you know, like, this group of people will gel well? You know what I mean? Because obviously, for certain fraternity, target certain people. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Like, some, like, alphas would only target alphas. Like, literally, like, machos with machos.
Yeah.
For us, it would just be, like, just people who just vibe, right? Like, people who are just cool with anything. You could just be a cool person. You want to play ball? Let's go play ball. Hey, you seem like a cool dude. You know,
are you? So it wasn't just your typical Hispanic frat in a sense, right? So it was like a mix or everything.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
it just so happened to be the mostly Hispanic just because of our circle of friends, but gotcha. It wasn't limited to just that.
I mean, originally background, the frat started as a Latino frat. Gotcha. And then they took that out and then it became multicultural. And then I think that was my favorite part, was that I got to learn from so many different cultures and different point of views. And it was just more of like, for me, it was the most inclusive group of people I've ever been with. It was one of those groups that I could literally do anything, show up, and everybody, they'll invite everyone to come in. Like, it wasn't like, oh no, who are you? Get out of the house or whatever. It was like, oh, you're, who are you? Okay, come in, party with us or hang out. And
that's
then,
how I felt like with Khalsa, to be honest with you.
Oh, Khalsa. Yeah.
That's how I felt like. I mean,
what's Khalsa? Cool.
It's a Colombian association.
Yeah. Oh, true. That's how FSA was.
What's
that? Filipino Student Association. There's a ton of Filipinos, but then there's also like all the other Asians, and then they just invited everybody. So like, it was like the biggest like party group that they had. So then they're just like, all right, yeah, everybody join. We're just all just gonna have fun. My history with like, is like I know a lot of people in Sigma Lambda Beta.
The Asian frat.
No. That's a Hispanic frat. Because one of my close buddies was in there. And so we hung out a lot. And then I also knew PD Psy, like all the founders for PD Psy, like they were going through the same thing.
So is that Asian frat?
That's the Asian frat, right? Okay. Yeah, so I hung out with them a lot. Like I think, and then I was gonna rush for them. What's the term when you're like rushing is when you're pledging. Yeah, pledging is actually going through the process, but rushing is actually like trying. So like I rushed for PD Psy, and then they didn't bring me on because I was working like three jobs at the time to pay for.
That's
everything.
Right. I remember that you were working. I was doing deliveries.
I was like a workaholic. Like no, I did deliveries on multiple.
Yeah.
Did deliveries. I worked at Walgreens as a clerk, and then I worked one of the sororities. I was doing their dining at night. So then I was like just bring out. All I did was bring out food, and then I get to take food home at the end of the night.
You did that too.
Yeah. Nice. So it was great, right? So I was doing those, and then just saving up money so that I could go through the pledging process. And then they were like, "Yeah, you're working too much." Like so, you don't have time. Like you don't have time to do it. And I was like, oh, that's not that was the intention. The intention was to save money so I could pledge. But then they're like, no, we already made a decision, so it's too late. So I was like, all right, it's too late.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But, but the thing is, like, while you're doing all that, you also have to maintain your grades. So
that's
you know,
true. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, like the most important thing is your academics, right? Like.
Yeah.
But I get it. But I'm pretty sure they considered it too. They're like, you know, how is this guy going to be able to balance all that out?
Yeah, right?
That's true.
Because think about it, because that's also something the university takes into account is like, they will ask you how many people started pledging and how many people dropped. And they want to make sure that it's not because of hazing or anything nefarious, anything like, you know, that sort. Yeah. So
I was going to get to like the question next. I'm like, do you guys develop anything from a rushing standpoint, anything like you guys made your pledges do? Just wondering, curious, any good stories you'd like to share?
Probably not allowed to say, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll say this. So I'm assuming you're talking about like hazing, you know,
not necessarily hazing wise, it's just in terms of just because at the end of the day, right? I guess part of to the rush, you want to make sure, you know, the people you bring in are, you build that trust and that bond, right? So I remember when I was rushing for a frat, one of the things we had to do was get together randomly with some brothers, be the fastest team to build a beer pong table, right? In order to do that, you had to show teamwork, some little bit of leadership, so you had to bond, you know, really fast. So like just stuff, things like that. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Every organization has like their own way of bonding, and I feel like that word hazing, it can also mean like it's just like an umbrella term for making someone do something they don't want to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and that's something that I hope that any person who's pledging could recognize, is right? Like if you like just say for example you're pledging this frat and you feel like you're just doing stupid shit, like chugging 10 beers for no reason. Like what good does that do you? Like there's no character development in that. Like that doesn't make you more of a man, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, and you hear stories, you know, like we're in college, we hear things like, oh, this fraternity got in trouble for making this kid, you know, sit in a ice tub for like 10 minutes and, you know, stupid shit like that. So, I mean, there are organizations that really take you as a person. Yep. They value you and they want to keep you, you know, because it makes their organization more prestigious. Yep. And then there are others that are more like social and they don't care. They just want to party and meet girls and, you know, waste your time basically.
Yeah. Is it always a tough process?
For you guys.
For a little background, right? My roommate when I was a sophomore, he was rushing or he was pledging or whatever. And I like barely saw him. Right. He came home and like washed his hair in the shower and then left. Like that was his like,
him being gosh. Home.
Like he was always busy doing stuff for like whatever they needed.
I mean, going back to your process stuff, when you the first 3 years to build something like that, you had to build some kind of process, right?
Mm-hmm. That's like, true. Yeah.
So, like, what was your process of getting the right recruits? And what, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, our situation was very unique. So, luckily, we did have help from afar, and the organization kind of sent over like a representative that was essentially kind of helping us build our chapter.
Yeah.
And he oversaw things, made sure that we were organized, we were being involved, and he just basically showed us the ropes, right? And he basically delegated some people within our group, the ones who actually started with this whole process, to make sure that we were essentially just, you know, making sure that we bring this to fruition in the way that it is. Because one thing also that we didn't mention is that our chapter was kind of like a satellite chapter. I mean, the organization, a lot of their chapters were in the West Coast. They started off in Texas and kind of expanded westward. And we were the only ones in the Southeast. So it was very hard for us to kind of get our bearings because we had nobody in the area, in the immediate area at least. So they had to send someone over. And
the person they sent over, was that someone from like the national? Because you guys have like a bigger umbrella fraternal organization, like their organization, the bigger organization chapter, and then each one has chapters into colleges. Like, was it someone from the bigger group that came?
Yeah He's actually my big brother. His name is actually Long, so that's why if you hear me say like, oh, you're Long 2.0 Long, that's similar. You guys are similar in like you're always traveling and you're texting, and I'm like, how do you have time for anything right
it's
now?
It's a compliment. It's definitely a compliment.
It's a very big compliment. I also have pledged some of the lines that have come through. I've been what we call the PME, and then the APME, which is the assistant. So the first like three lines, I actually was part of the process.
Nice.
But, you know, there's rules that they always give you at UF. You know, you can't cross this, you can't do these certain things. And it's just, you always hear those stories, fraternity stories. But at least for me, for the process, it was, if it doesn't make you better, it's not worth it kind of thing. If this doesn't improve you as a person, then why are we doing it kind of thing?
Why waste the time? Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm not here to like destroy your life. I'm here to make you better at your skills set and things like that. It's not really.
And enjoy always, the process itself.
Is it always straightforward, or is it like where like Mr. Miyagi makes you wax on, wax off, and that gives you something else that you didn't see before? Is it like that, or is it
see a different perspective?
Yeah. Is it always straightforward?
Yeah. I try to be like Mr. Miyagi sometimes and be like, oh, you know, wax on, wax off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not a... so nah, wouldn't be like mystery or
so give us an example, Ryan. Give us an example. I'm just wondering. I'm just curious. Just for those folks to understand a little bit of it, you know, like, especially, I feel like, to be honest with you, like, for me, I didn't hear about the multicultural frat until my junior year for me.
Oh,
and that's how I found out. Late. Yeah, that's really late, you know. But also at the same time, I wasn't really heavily involved in that side of the world. I was, and I found out about it through the Costa Club, you know, and then all the different clubs I joined later on. So,
were you involved in the ASU and all the Asian groups?
Not just junior year.
Yeah. See, that's why. So I joined the Asian, like the Asian, like students societies, like
union,
like immediately, like as soon as I joined all of those Asian groups, and that's where I learned about PSI, like their interest group that was coming up, and then all of the multicultural stuff that went through. So it might be that you were in the different circles.
Yeah, for me was that I did not. My goal was to try to find different pockets of different areas, like every year, to, you know, explore different areas, different pockets, so that way I can meet different group of people. Mm-hmm. Until, like, just for me, it was collecting network, right? And so I put myself in a different position. And like, I remember my freshman year, I drew a map out. You know what? This is what I'm gonna do every single year, just to make sure that I hit different type of group of people.
Dang! And how did you know all of the sectors that you wanted to hit right away?
I didn't know all the sectors though, but it was more like, okay, I know that I want to hit check out the frat world a little bit first, then I knew that I want to check out the Hispanic sector, you know, a little bit first, and so forth. I just didn't know where yet, but I was just a little roadmap, right?
I see.
Because I really want to do the opposite of what I did from high school, because high school I didn't do that. So that was like my game plan a little bit. And then on the way to the process, I started meeting a lot of people who just threw parties. And so I started collecting names. And then by the time my junior year came around, I was like, I don't need to be in a frat. I have this whole network of underground parties now. I can find a party every single weekend.
Mike was like the party guy. Like if you needed anything to be, if you wanted to know what was happening, Mike knew everything that was happening every night of the week.
It was
no
crazy.
Matter what.
It was to a point. It was crazy.
I'm pretty sure I've run into you at many parties. Yeah. The parties overlapped.
So GC, yeah. I feel like you and I have met before. I don't think me and Ryan met before though, for sure, during college time.
Well,
like,
Well, like what Ryan was saying, he was actually very responsible and he worked a lot in college, which I thought was pretty crazy. So that's why. Yeah.
So did I. I had two jobs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ryan ended up working on Saturday nights, which is party prime time.
I was doing, and I would do like sorority parties at like, it was like 11 to like 2 a.m. It's a skating rink. And they're having like these parties where they're bringing all the sorority girls are going, but it's only them. So I'm like, it was a disaster.
I had to sacrifice one night of the week. So for me, when I was doing the dorm job, I had to do one overnight shift between 12 to 4 a.m. So I either did one Friday night or one Saturday night. So every week I had to pick one of them. It was kind of a tough choice sometimes.
Mike, you would call Mike up and be like, hey, Mike, what's happening today? And he's like, oh yeah, there's four parties. All these, like, these are the people here. We're gonna stop by each one, and I'll let you know which one's the best one. And so, like, I just wait till Mike calls and is like, all right, this is the best party to be at. Let's go. I was like, all right, I guess that's where we're going tonight.
But for me, like, at that point, I was like, you know what, I don't need to join a frat, anything like that at all. Mm-hmm. So, but it was nice because I still got to know a different group of people, and I do wish that. I feel like for you guys, you build like a brotherhood, right? And so, because even after college, for you guys, you still stay in touch, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's something that you're going to carry probably rest of your life. I think that's one thing that I'm jealous about that I didn't have the experience on.
So when you were in the frat, you didn't develop
those bonds?
I dropped
out. I lasted a month, that's it. It was the beginning of my mechanical junior year, during my sophomore year. I was working two jobs, and I was not sleeping at all pretty much. And so,
You didn't get through like the whole process.
I lasted 6-7 weeks. But I didn't get through the process because it was tough because they were literally demanding almost every hour of my time. Mm-hmm. And we were doing projects every single day. And we were traveling to Jacksonville, Tampa every on the weekends. I'm like, nope. I'm like, I can't do this. I need to work. I need to do the other thing. So
I think that's where it's the primary difference between multicultural and an IFC or MPHC and multicultural pre-council. They're kind of very similar.
Yeah.
And then you have your IFC and PC. And MGC and MPHC, they're small groups of people. You're not going to have hundreds of people in your fraternity or sorority. So you actually get to know everyone.
Yeah.
And it's more of a brotherhood than if you just join, you pay your dues, and you have like people going in and out of a house all day. You don't really get to know them the same way. So I think that's the biggest difference and what I actually enjoy being in a multicultural one.
Yeah, I think that was like the most attractive thing when I was like looking at frats and all that stuff, like, was that the guys that I met were like very much brothers. Like they it felt like very much like a brotherhood, and they were all very close. They all knew each other really well, and like everyone was really like, it was a good tight bond, right? And that was very attractive when I was like looking at it. And yeah, I just, and even now, like you like, you can like talk to them and like, oh yeah, I've talked to this guy. Like, we're all real strong brothers now, which I don't think I got out outside of that. Is more like, oh, I have friends already that I'm pretty strong with, and now we added a couple of new faces into that mix, right?
I still feel like having, you know, what kind of frat you're coming out of, right? I feel like that still adds value after college, just because, you know, especially with jobs sometimes, you never know what they end up at, you know? I've seen scenarios where I have a couple of friends who got jobs just because they had brotherhood there. To be honest, it helped.
Right? Yeah,
totally. That kind of network does matter, though, so.
I mean, in general, you'll see, okay, so like certain fraternities and sororities, you'll see even in sports, the Qs are usually more the sports people. So Michael Jordan's tongue thing is actually from the fraternity. It's not from, they're called dogs, and they do a sign where they put their hands up, and you'll see athletes when they come out of the tunnel, football players, they'll do the sign. Michael Jordan's tongue thing comes from that. It doesn't come from him just like doing a tongue thing. So like Shaquille O'Neal's part of that frat, well, Bill Cosby, but let's go past him. but you'll see that a lot of people that have been successful have come through fraternities and sororities, because that's a great way to network, and you have that support behind that's you true. To help you, you know, oh, I have a job, I need a job. There's groups that I go on and they still send, like they still talk to each other. Oh, who's in this city? Can I hang out with you? Can I sleep on your couch? And that's how we kind of like network and get around.
Also, between Greek societies, like I have talked to people who have gone to interviews and they're like, oh yeah, like this guy was in some fraternity, and he's in like a multicultural fraternity, and he's like, oh yeah, and we just talked about Greek life, and then that was like the majority of our interview. And it was great, right? Like, and they weren't even like the same. They the guy wasn't a multicultural guy. He was just he just was in the Greek life, and it seemed like to be a bond. Like there's something
it
there
relatable.
Between
it's something related. To relate to, right?
Yeah.
I think it's like when you share a struggle of any sort, you know, you kind of have this bond already. You know, it's like, oh man, you had to go through that shit too. Damn, bro, me too.
Yeah.
Like I feel you. Like I get you. So.
That's true. All right. So we're going to pivot a little bit here. We're going to jump into our extra energy session. Then we can get into the little greedy detail of, you know, decisions in college. Okay.
Okay.
First things first. So who wants to go first for the funny session? Robert, you want to go first?
I don't have anything that's pretty funny. I think we're going to skip this week for funny session.
You're
going to
skip this week. All right. Yeah. How about you, GC?
Something funny? I don't have anything funny. I just have something interesting that's very apropos to this.
All right, go ahead.
Wait, so do I, how do I share this with you?
Just send it through WhatsApp.
All right, let me see if I can do this quickly. So Facebook, you know how like Facebook likes to remind you of things? This actually popped up on my newsfeed the other day.
Okay. Oh, please don't tell me it's our dubstep or dub.
Oh, no, no, not like that.
Wait, I want to see today. I want to see the dubstep now. That's what I want.
Ryan. That's a long video.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Memory, 12-year memory.
Yeah. So this was when we won our championship in 2008, I think.
Yeah, 12 years
ago. 12 years ago, bro. That was insanely long. So that, you know, me, Mel, Mario's there. He's wearing glasses. He looks weird.
I knew I met Mario before. I was like, Mario looks so familiar when I saw him again with the beard. I was like,
yeah.
What a great time to go to UF, right? Like during the time that we went to college, I remember I got there the first year we won a national championship. Then
that's
like
crazy.
it was just national championship after national championship, and you're like, this is a great life. Like how can I not like being at UF? Like this is perfect.
Right. And even to this day, the only university with back-to-back like football, basketball in the same year. So like, yeah. Even in like how I said earlier, like I didn't grow up with sports at all. So that to me was like, I thought that was normal. I thought that was just winning was the thing. So I can imagine someone going to Alabama thinking the exact same thing right now, right? Like, exactly. Oh, we just win natties all the time.
They're and so used to it.
Yeah. The problem is we won football first. And basketball. Yeah. No, we won football, basketball. I think it was football.
No,
first.
It was basketball first. Football, basketball, and then football. Football like a year later.
Yeah, and then, then baseball, then gymnastic.
Yeah, and we just like won everything. And I'm like, oh man, like we went so through that drought where like our football team was not good. And I'm just like, man, what happened? Maybe they need us to come back to college. Yeah. Like go to graduate school or something. We go back to graduate school and then like then they'll start playing well again. But yeah, it's just you're just so spoiled when you're when you go through college.
To be honest, I didn't start caring until we started sucking because I'm like, damn, why are we not doing so great? And so like like you said, I'm like, I gotta go to these games. I gotta like scream, like even to this day, like that game at LSU 2 years ago. Or 2 or 3 years ago, when Joe Burrow threw that interception, I'm like, it's because we were too loud. No one can hear shit. Yeah.
Wait. So did you go to the parties? Like after the Dash of Championships, like what was that? What street was that on? That everyone just
University.
That everyone just like went to and like people were like climbing up on poles and stuff. Like it was it was crazy. Like that was just nuts. It was such a good time.
Yeah. All right, so Ryan, what's your thing? You have a funny thing to share, funny story?
Let's see. I got plenty of funny stories. I mean, I'll go with a story that I guess when I first entered UF, when we were winning championships, I got a call from my father. It's not that funny, but I used to play basketball with the FIU coach's son, a former FIU coach's son. So I got a call and he was like, hey, do you want to be on the practice squad for UF? And I was like, I'm 5'8", like 120 pounds, and we just won a national championship. No, I'm good. I can't compete with joking Noah. He's going to swap.
Practice squad, though. Who cares, you know?
Yeah, it's just a practice squad.
I was just like, I just wanted to enjoy my time in college. So I was like, no, I'm good. I just want to like study and get out of there.
Man, imagine if you said yes to that, Ryan.
I know, you get a ring.
Wait, will you get a ring? Will you get a ring? I'm curious now.
Yeah.
I don't know with the practice squad.
Practice squad, they get a ring. Why not?
I don't know. But I was like, I can't do that right now. That's just.
But you'll be like buddy with Joakim now, and you'll be like, hey, Joakim.
And you have friends, that's true. You would have the network, yeah?
Joakim, get me a ring. You know, like.
I remember going to Midtown and Joakim Noah would just like straight up walk into the club. Jeez, you know, you'd be like dancing with someone and you look
Brewer,
up.
Man. Crew Brewer. I remember what was the Hispanic club upstairs? What's it called? Whiskey Lounge? Was it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I remember seeing Al Horford and Corey Brewer all the time there. I'm like, you can tell who they are because they're so pretty
tall. They're so tall, yeah.
And well, the thing is that the club wasn't even, that ceiling wasn't even that tall. You can tell like it was almost there. Like there was like maybe a foot gap between the head and the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's crazy though.
All right, what's your story, Mark?
So I don't have a story. I just had a funny meme that I want to show you guys quickly. So obviously, probably you guys probably watched some of the TikTok videos. You know how some, you know, their wife kind of just tried to distract with the husband by getting naked in front of the Zoom call. And so this is a Reddit note of an image and title says, a friend's note to her husband this morning. It is a note, the note says, I'm on a Zoom call. Do not walk out naked.
That's totally valid. Totally. Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, if you're working from home, I mean, being naked is fair game. I gotta say.
But distracting someone is, what do you mean in an important meeting, you know? You can't distract me.
I mean, Wong did tell me to wear a shirt today because every time you FaceTime
with
my shirt off, I'm like, who's if you're FaceTiming me past 10, you know, I think you're FaceTiming me for other things, I'm gonna be naked.
Hey, so keep it private, okay?
I have a neighbor of mine who, like, they're an older couple, right? But like the husband is is like a CFO of a company, and so he's on meetings all the time, like making deals. And for some reason, he like when like we're all work from home, he's like right up to the camera, like he's like this, like right, always up, like covering the camera. And then his wife was like, "All right, like no, you can't sit so close, like they need to see you." And so she told me the story where she got him to sit back, and then she came out naked one day on accident and like streaked the entire her, like everyone who was watching.
Hopefully the meeting was not recorded.
Hopefully it's not recorded. But she was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe like everybody saw."
That is so hilarious. Oh my god.
Well, yeah, Christ. that's a good story. Maybe that's my story today. There you go.
There we go. There's your story there. All right. So let's jump back into this quickly. So, all right. So if there was three things that, you know, that you learned about yourself going through this frat process, building this foundation, you know, now, you know, what would that be? Just wondering, Ryan, start off with you.
Three things going through this process. Let's see.
That you learned about yourself. Yeah.
I guess I learned a lot of having kind of a support system, because I did suffer from depression. Well, I do suffer from depression, but when things went like really bad, if it wasn't for them being behind me and supporting me and taking me in, I definitely would have been probably in one of my lowest spots in life. There was just a lot going on at the time. So I think knowing who to have as your support and who's good for you or not, and who actually cares and will be there no matter what. Like if I disappear, like GC has never gone away. If I disappear for years, I come back, he'll be like, "Hey, what's up? Let's go and hang out." Like there's a lot of people that would just cut you off. Like, "Oh, you're not doing this for me.
Gotcha.
Bye." I think that's my biggest takeaway from that. I also grew up with sisters and I was closer to my mom than my dad, so I needed more of like that male bonding.
Gotcha.
And I noticed that it does make a big difference, because I get my validation a lot from women, and it's affected me a lot. Like I say, I'm every woman's best friend. Never in a relationship, but so that is a big one for me, the male bonding and understanding how guys think sometimes than just women, and not just getting my validation from one perspective. I want to say the third one, it completely broke me out of my shell. I went from super shy to I will be in the back of the pack to I'm performing in the front.
So you were shy? How's that possible? You were playing basketball in high school, going to parties. How's that shy?
I was super shy. Really? I was really shy. I was a point guard in high school that like barely spoke to you. Like, it made no sense. I was supposed to be a leader. I did it. I led by example. Okay.
There we go.
It's the Kawhi Leonard over there.
Kawhi Leonard, there we go. Yeah.
I was very like that. Like if you were to talk crap to me, I would just show you, I would just go back at you in my abilities, not in saying anything to you. Mm-hmm. So it broke me out of my shell, and it showed me how much more success you will have by not being behind closed doors and not being silent to things. Because even when we used to have meetings, I used to be very quiet. And then it just got to a point where I was fed up with everybody. And I was just like, this is my point of view. And then, you know, people started respecting me a lot more for that than just being there.
So you pretty much found your voice in a sense.
In a sense, yeah. I found my voice. Coming out of college, I was like the most confident I had ever been.
That's awesome.
For sure.
Do you think you would have developed this without your brothers there?
That's one of my questions, Robert. Jesus, you asked that.
Yeah.
There you
personally,
go.
Personally, I don't think so, because it was more since we were a brotherhood, having them. I represented them as well as myself. Mm-hmm. So gotcha. Whatever I did is a reflection of them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm my own individual, I knew that my personal accolades would be reflecting on them. So I don't think I would have been as out, because even when I first started, I spent my days in my room, and I would go down to Miami like every weekend, almost like every other weekend.
Wow.
Just because like I was just that alone at the time, because no one came from UF. My best friends like went to FSU or went somewhere else. So I was really actually very lonely at the beginning. I was also on medication, so it helped me. If I wasn't on medication at the time for depression, I probably wouldn't have said yes to even meeting them to
have a conversation.
I wouldn't have talked to the guy in class. I kind of made fun of our teacher that first 7:25 a.m. class.
7:25 a.m.
Oh, it was 7:25 ENC 1101.
Oh my god!
I wore like Hawaiian shirt.
Oh. English. Oh my god! For first class is tough. That's tough. Yeah. So how about you, GC? What are the three things you learned out of this experience from you?
Wow, I don't think I can top Ryan's.
It's not about topping Ryan's. It's about your own experience, man.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, one negative thing is I realized I'm really bad at managing time.
We're all guilty of that, though. You're not alone, trust me.
Yeah, but it's like I remember when you're at school, and similar to what you said, Rob. Like you know, a lot of people go to school, especially you have for like pre-med. Mm-hmm. And that takes up a ton of time, like all those classes you have to take. And I remember I was like, is this the right thing to do to like get involved, you know, in anything while I should be studying? Because I'm already a very distracted person. It's just hard for me to focus in general. But I'm really glad I broke out of my shell, broke out of my comfort zone to meet with the guys, because they literally became lifelong friends. You know, I talked to Ryan, I mean, maybe not as often as before, but like we're always like, yo, hey, I'm in town, let's go hang out, or I'll go to Gainesville, we hang out, like as if nothing ever happened. This past weekend I had a brother move, or he came to visit from Denver, and we just picked off where we left off, you know. It's just good times. And that's the other thing too, I was also very shy. And I think that was like what the guy who recruited us, or you know, talked us into it. I think that was something that
was the same guy. Sorry, just wondering, that recruited both of you guys or different guys?
Well, I think you said it was Diego, right?
So I had Diego more kind of talk to me in ENC 1101. He was like always like, hey, I got this thing, and I'm like, okay, well, I gotta go. It's 7:25 in the morning. Like, this is not the time to talk to me. He was more recruiting me, but I kind of knew Davi because I remember him from orientation. I was like, oh, that's that guy that was in the corner dancing or whatever. And then, like, I kind of knew who he was, but he didn't really recruit me. Diego recruited me more.
How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was my previous staffer. He wasn't even my previous staffer. He was just, I had another previous staffer, and I guess she didn't really help me, or I felt like she didn't. I just naturally gravitated towards, his name is Davier. And he was just so like, so radiant in the sense where like you talk to him and you feel like it's okay. Like you don't, even if you're shy or angry or just nervous, like he just made you feel comfortable at home. He was just like, hey, it's all good, dude, you know, whatever, what do you need help with? And so, you know, months later he approached me and he's like, hey, you want to join this group? And so like he made me feel, he basically told me, you know, take a risk, you know, I know you're shy, I understand, but this will make you better, you know, basically this will check off all the boxes that you wish you could. And so
that's crazy how two different people recruit you from the same starting frat. I mean, you know what I mean, just you know, just think about it. UF is not a small campus at all. 40,000
right.
kids.
Well,
so.
Well, Diego was like Davi's really good friend too. Like,
yeah, and
like
as a
preview, I
and
think,
a previous
so.
Staffer. Like,
that's true.
I remember. Yeah. You guys remember Hui Huynh? He was also a previous staffer, but he's like one of the founders of PDSci as well. And he was he was one of the guys that like I talked to a lot. Like, I feel like if I had joined PDSci, that would be the person I would choose as like, or like I would want to be like like my big brother or whatever, right? Like that, like he was always like he was always like they I think they choose really good previous staffers.
Yeah.
I had a shitty previous staffer.
No, and Hui wasn't mine either, but like he was one of those guys, and so like those guys are so outgoing, and they're all very like personable. I don't know.
But think about this, all right? There's so many preview staffers out there. There's so many previous classes. You know what I mean? Like the odds of two guys, I guess, being the same previous staffer that choosing, and then you guys are, you know, being in the same foundation club. Think about it. How many people were in that first year with you guys? 20?
About, I would say.
Yeah, probably. I want to say.
Yeah. So it's pretty small. You know, think about it, the chances. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they see everybody coming in.
Yeah.
They're also
it's like they already have a mental note of who to talk to afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, obviously while you're in preview, you can't like poach people as you're guiding them. Yeah. So this is like way after.
Yeah. I mean, at least Diego was trying to recruit like three of us out of there, and then it was just me that came out of that. I was like, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's meet.
So for you, UGC, then you obviously get less shy. What else like did you learn out of that? Just wondering.
Yeah, so that the less shy or going out of my comfort zone, the not too good at time management, and basically, you know.
Oh yeah, because once you started finding some stuff, you had to time manage everything, right? Because you were going through meetings, you had to go through all the craziness. So.
Yeah, I guess I'm pretty two dimensional. I'm just like I have to do this, and this is what I'm going to focus on. But then once you introduce this new variable, where it's like you know meetings, and then, you know. Community service, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And I remember going to tutoring zone to kind of like help me catch up with certain classes. I'm like, okay, if I go to this community service event, then I can go to tutoring zone and basically catch up on stats, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last thing is I feel like just us as in general, like we'll always find a way like to succeed. I studied, so just to give a little background, so I started off as a psych major, but also wanting to do pre-med. Then I found that was boring. Then I did animal sciences because the classes are very similar to each other. Because you still have to take the microbiomes and all that shit, but I didn't really like it. And so I remember I transitioned, like, I don't do anything. What I do now in school or what I do now in life, I did not study in school at all. So I feel like
it's like
part of that has like breaking out of your comfort zone, right? Like, I feel like when I was younger, I just had this doubt of like, what the heck am I going to do? How am I going to survive? Like, I know I don't want to be a doctor, but this is all like what my family like pushed me towards doing. But I'm like, I'm going to kill myself if I force myself down this path.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, I guess maybe the organization helped me become a little more resilient in that sense, you know, and also.
Well, it seems like it gave you the confidence though, to be honest with you. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I just was out of my comfort. Like I wasn't in home. I didn't have the comfort of to be sheltered by my parents. Yeah. And to be honest, I looked up to all my friends. I looked up to people who worked during school because to me that showed like insane amount of time management and just dedication to work. You know, I was like, damn, bro, I wouldn't be able to work and also study and party, you know. It's like,
but the thing is that though, like you see people doing that, right? It kind of builds you a little bit motivation to do that yourself too, to be better. That's a thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I look up to all my friends, you guys, and I'm like, damn, these guys do a million things. How do they manage to do that in a day?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's actually something like. But it sounds like for you though, like a lot of it, like because you've gone through that experience already, you built something and you realize, oh wow, you found a way to do it. That gave you a little bit of confidence because now you can willingly go out of your comfort zone again to do the same thing again. You know what I mean? So it kind of helped you build a momentum going forward.
That's interesting.
It also introduced me to a lot of different personality types, right? Because the more people you meet, it's like you realize, okay, this guy, he's really into doing things. He's not into chilling like I am. So,
That's true. I had to like when I was in school, like I also started out really timid, but then I think, like Mike, I set myself where I was like, I need to get out of my comfort zone, and that was like a really big motivator for me. Like I pushed myself to do that, and I feel like if I hadn't done that, I probably, like, I don't know. Like, I think I needed to force myself out. And if I didn't have that own self-motivation, I don't know if that would, like, how things would come out now, right? But yeah, it was very much self-motivated to get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And be a part of what's going on outside.
Yes. So let me ask you this though, like, well, first to GC. So going through the frat, do you think you would have done that same thing, like going out of your comfort zone, things like that? Just wondering, I'm just curious. Do you think you would have?
That's a good question. I do think about that quite often, like, would I do it again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there are times. A lot of it depends on my mood. There are times I'm like, man, like, maybe I wouldn't do this again, because it depends on what your priorities are, right? For me, it was a lot of I saw how much effort all my other friends were putting into this, my brothers, and I'm like, I abandoned my brothers. Like, that's kind of fucked up, you know? Like,
of course,
we put in so much effort into doing this, and how am I gonna? What kind of example would I be? Yeah, what kind of example would I be? That's literally what you are groomed to not be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't give up, you're there, you're almost at the finish line, just finish the job, you know?
So you're not a quitter. That's good though. So, I mean, that's what you realize, right? So I don't know, I feel like sometimes there's some decisions that, and this leads to my next question, right? So, like, so I mean, obviously during college you make some great decisions and you make some bad decisions, right? And there are some bad decisions that just happens just because it's part of learning life lessons. Yeah. And there's some great decisions that you never thought that, oh, wow, I actually made this awesome decision, you know? So for me, one of the best decisions I made was, you know, just like you guys, you know, I started as an international relations major. Then I went to finance and then ended up going to engineering, you know, engineering. But if I didn't go through that process though, realizing, okay, if I started engineering, I think I would have hated it. But I went through other majors first to make sure that I really explore that route. So I think that was one of the best decisions I made to do that, because, and then I ended up sticking with mechanical aerospace just because at that time I already have enough credits for it, but also it was the foundation of all engineering. If I needed to branch off, I could branch off. But obviously I'm not doing any engineering as today I am, you know, but I feel like that just having that decision factor. Okay, I tried international relationship, I tried finance already, I just didn't like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think part of the college experience is just trying things. So,
totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a good skill to have is knowing where to pick up. Like you have these skills and you don't just freak out, and you can basically pick up where you left off, or like you can transition and not freak out, kind of thing. Like,
but it's hard though, because if you think about it, right? Like you don't know any better. You're trying to develop some self-awareness, because you're like, until you like fail or something, or until you try something, you never know. Right. But just getting that mindset, saying yes to that. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, what made you say yes to that fraternity though? You know what I mean? Like, what, just because you had just someone good that introduced you to it. Right. That's what it was probably. Right?
Yeah. For me, it was trust, and definitely the people also behind it, you know, the foundation of that. Like, I knew they weren't going to, I knew they weren't fucking around, basically, you know, like they weren't in it for, you know, this was just for the clout, you know, I just want to party and rage sort of thing, you know, it was more than that.
So let me ask you this now for you guys. What is the worst decision you made in college?
Yeah.
Worst decision you made in college.
Ryan, you go. I feel like I've been talking too much.
Yeah.
I'll say the decision I should have made. So I was a business management major before, and then I was like, this is boring, I hate this.
Yeah.
So then I was looking for something else. I wanted to do theater, which I think is more of my style of life. But I got a call from my father saying, hey, I retire in 2011, so you need to make sure you graduate by that time. So if I went into theater, I was gonna go past that time. But if I went into advertising, I would have made it in that time and still have a creative outlet for that. So I think my worst decision was not standing up and being like, I'm going to do theater and try that out. Because I think that really has affected my mindset for several years.
Do you think that you could have done dual major like that?
I don't think I would have wanted to.
Okay.
So I personally hate school. I've always hated school. Like I literally in elementary school would run from school. Like I just don't enjoy the style of teaching. I'm very kind of hands-on. If somebody's teaching me right there, I will pick it up really fast. But just people telling me stuff, I'm like, okay, whatever, I don't care. That's me. So I think, yeah, that was definitely my worst decision, was just not standing up. And I think it would have also given me a lot more confidence to be able to say no to people in general, because I did it to my father, who was basically, you know, my more strict, basically like a nemesis in a sense of like, he was very strict. Yeah. So if you beat this guy, the boss level, you could beat everyone else level one and up.
That's interesting. I have the same thing, right? Like I went from pre-med to pre-farm, which once I got into like, I started doing like biology and I was like, I hate this shit. Like, I can't do the biology. It's the worst subject ever. So I was like, all right, I'm done. And then I was like, I'm going to switch over to math. So I started transitioning over to a math major. And then I told my dad, and my dad was like, what are you going to do with a math major? Like, what job are you going to get? And at that time I didn't know how to stand up to my parents, or I don't know. I think even now I probably don't stand up to my parents. But like, yeah, he said something and I was like, okay, I guess I'll change my major to finance, because it's like an application of math, right? And then my dad was like, oh, you're going to go and be a banker forever? Like, that's like a bank teller. Like, what are you really doing? Like, why don't you go and be a doctor, be an engineer, be something? And I was like, at that point, like after I switched from math over to finance, I was like, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm just done. Like, I'm done listening. And then, and I feel like that was a turning point, right? Where you're just like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. My parents don't haven't gone through this. So they don't really understand everything that goes on with like careers and all this stuff. They just know what they know. So maybe I need to just forge my own path. And at that point, it changes. Like your mentality changes, everything changes. And I think if I had stayed in math, I think I would have been very happy. Like, I think it would have been I don't know if it would be an easier road. It would have just been like more, I would have been doing more things that I would have enjoyed. And I think that's how it worked.
That's an interesting takeaway. For me,
that's awesome.
I didn't have that issue. I was more like, when my parents, obviously they hadn't gone to college themselves. And so my parents wasn't even going to chime in. They're like, you know what, just get a job. Unless you want to work at the restaurant afterward. So that was the mentality. Just scared me. No, so
my parents are like, if you go and become like, if you can't make it, you're going to go and do nails like everybody, all the other Vietnamese people. And you're just going to be another statistic. And that was what they told me. That was
crazy. All right. So GC, what about you? What's the decision you made in college? Just wondering.
Yeah. I mean, not to hop on the bandwagon, but it was the exact same thing, you know, like, I have a feeling it's probably because we had like immigrant parents, you know. I feel like our parents immigrated here and they wanted the best for us, you know. And so like they defaulted to like, what is the ultimate route that's like sure, the surest path you can take where you won't be a total failure.
the safety net.
Yes. So it's like, okay, so you could be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever, you know, pharmacist. Yep. And I'm like, oh my God, really? This sounds so lame. I don't want to do any of those things. And so, you know, just to please my mother. So my mom is, she's a doctor. And so that was her thing. And my dad's a mechanic. I mean, they're divorced now, but they're both very well off. And I'm like, and I remember telling my dad, I'm like, Dad, I kind of want to be a mechanic. I enjoy working with you. Like, I feel like you're happy. You know, you have your own business. You do what you want. But it is very physical, and you know, you have to find clients, things like that. And
well,
my mom,
it takes a toll on you mentally too, for, you know, your own business, right? So
yeah. And even after school, I remember I did work with my dad for a bit. I'm like, nah, fuck this. This is way too, No, it's just not the life I.
So what did you end up majoring in? You never told us.
Sure. So I ended up graduating with an animal sciences major. Okay. So that similar to like, it was kind of like the surest thing I can take because it all my biology credits rolled over. And if I wanted to go to like med school or vet school or any sort of, I could, yeah, because I already had those prerequisites. Okay. But I never took the MCAT or, you know, the veterinarian exam, the equivalent of that.
Yep.
And but I remember, but I knew deep down that I also really liked math. I was never really good at math, but it's something that's always interested me. Mm. And I remember talking to my mom that, like, mom, you know, I want to switch majors and I really want to do computer science or some sort of engineering. I just knew I wanted to do something computational. But my mom was like, no, I can't. You know, you can do that. You can do that here. You don't have to be at UF to do that. And I was like, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay here forever. You know, it was my, I call Gainesville Gaines Vegas. You know, it's my own word because, you know, good times. But yeah, so crap, I'm losing my train of thought. So yeah, my biggest regret is not standing up for myself earlier and deciding to switch my major to computer science, because what I did end up doing after college was I re-enrolled at FIU for computer science and I ended up just not finishing it because I said, this is kind of dumb. You know, like I'm retaking all these maths credits that I've already taken. And they're like, well, it's been so long that they don't count anymore. And the pace was just like going to school all over again. So I decided, I'm just going to work at a startup. Let me see if I can get a job as an intern and work my way up from there. So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, so far I feel like I've been pretty successful at it. I do deep down inside wish, you know, I had a formal degree of some sort of math or computer engineering, but, you know, still in my 30s.
I don't think it's necessary.
So like for me, like I went through finance. So like I went through the finance route, but I've always been into like tech. Right. So from there, I went through this route of like going through finance stuff, but like doing techie stuff. And then now I'm like in data science. Right. Like I'm doing like coding all the time. Right. That's part of the job. But like, I don't have a job. I don't have like a degree in like computer science or anything data related. Right. Like it's
but this guy learned Python by himself online through a free class.
Through like Coursera, right? Like it's really nothing. Like you just go and you learn it, and then you can figure it out. And
to be honest,
To
be honest, a lot of those things didn't even exist when we were in undergrad. Right.
That's true.
So like, So like AWS wasn't even public until like 2011, and by then we were just graduating right then and there. So it's like there's no way I would have studied that.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the process, and like going through the process, like you just learn so much. Going through those steps, like, and it's never where you like when we just started college, like we all had this like idea of where we would be 10, 15 years.
It's true though, because I feel like that's the mentality planted in your head though, because I feel like going to college, right? You think that you know what you want to do, but then, and you get to this, I guess, college real life crisis. You're like, fuck, you don't know what you want to do. Like, you really don't. I've gone through the process that even after I graduated with my engineering degree, I didn't want to do anything with engineering. That's the reason why I went to grad school. And I was like, you know what? I need to buy myself some more time. I need to figure this out. And I like solving problems. I like, you know, dealing with people. I was like, what is the best next job to do, career to do that? And consulting just came out of handy because, I didn't know what industry I wanted to be in. And I was able to try different industry. That's how I landed with consulting, to be honest with you. So.
Gotcha.
I thought it was because you talk real fast and you're able to. That's how it works. They're like looking for that in the interview. That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're probably, you know, they're looking for an Asian guy who sounds smart, you know, talks really
talk
fast.
Talk real fast.
He's able to sell it. No, but I think, you know, I one of the things that, you know, when I, you know, just to wrap up with this topic in terms of like, I feel like one of the things that going to college, and not going to college, right? It's two different mentality processes, right? I have friends who not going to college and still be fine. Mm-hmm. But they found their own path, right? Maybe different path. And also maybe a different life experience. So for me, if I would, I'm not sure if I would be a similar spot or a better spot if I didn't go to college, you know? So, but at the same time though, my parents never went to college. They're in an amazing spot.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, but I think it's I think college gives you, like, someone who doesn't know what they want, yeah. It gives them a head start, or like a platform. Exposure. Right? Exposure.
Exposure. That's true.
Yeah. And just playing the percentages, right? Like the percentages of people who went to college versus who didn't, and how successful, like monetarily successful they are. It's just higher, right? So it just puts you on like a step. It gives you like a step where it doesn't get you all the way to the top of the stairs, right? Something like that, where it just like, you learn things that you wouldn't have learned otherwise, but then, it's not the reason that you're where you're at. Like you have other factors.
Me, I don't think I would have enjoyed college if I end up going to other school, because I feel like with UF though, that tradition that made it more, the extracurricular activity made it more fun for me, in a sense that I made it enjoy the process more.
And you don't think other schools have that?
Yeah,
have different traditions. Like maybe it's a different.
That's true.
Thing that could have happened.
Yeah,
would have brought you somewhere else.
But one of the things that, because let's say that I end up at Berkeley, I don't think, you know, I would have loved football, right? Mm-hmm. Think about that, yeah, right?
You would not totally. Have, no.
Yeah, for you guys, probably, if you guys didn't do the frat, I think your experience of meeting people, your experience coming out, out of comfort zone might be a little bit different. You may have done similar way to learn it. It may have taken you a while, or may have not. But now that you look back, you enjoy that process. You love that process, and you wouldn't want to change that, right?
Right.
Right.
So, and that's one of the things. Like, I don't know, but and actually, funny thing, you know, talk about that step. And I was watching, you know, rewatching The Office. And I love the show, by the way. But Andy Bernard, he kind of said this like clip. I think it's like one of the last episode, right? Hang on, let me play this clip for you guys. It's actually pretty fun. It's like I wish I could revisit this. You know, I do college again. You know, here you can just play that.
The weird thing is,
it's about the good old days.
Now I'm exactly where I want to be. I got my dream job at Cornell.
Oops.
And I'm still just thinking about my old pals. Only now they're the ones I made here. I wish you didn't know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them.
Wow, that's a good.
Oh my gosh.
It's a good quote. I wish you had known you're in the good old days before you had left them.
It's true though, you know. And so that, for me, that quote kind of stuck in my mind. I'm like, wow. It's kind of true though, like that, you know, the aspect of that, because like, you don't realize, you know, after you leave it, like in a sense, you know. So,
but do you think like in 10 years you're gonna look at this podcast and be like, this is the good old days, right? Like, I feel like you should just like take every moment in as it is, and that's going to be the good old days eventually.
Right,
that's true. But I think it's part of it, just identifying things that you want to do. Like for me, you know, obviously, you know, you Robert, you and I talked about this, right? Doing this podcast was something in my mind for like past 2 years. But what triggered it is like, you know what, I need to, you know, just do it, because no matter, I just couldn't find excuses. Okay, I shouldn't be doing this, right?
Right.
And worst case scenario, guess what? No one watches us or listens to us. Best case scenario, now, you know, we could reconnect with friends. You know, we share stories, and get people to, you know, get our friends to tell their stories, their life experience. That, and there's stuff that I didn't know about Ryan or GC I learned today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all right, listen, I know we're running a little bit later in time. We're going to just, you know, wrap this episode up with a little bit of ranting. You know, you're going to guess, does everybody have their rant or best? Just get up the chest. You want to start, Robert?
You want me to start? All right. Yeah. So I think what I'm going to start with is not really a rant, right? Like, I don't understand what, like, what the whole Suez Canal thing is going on right now. Like, I just see a bunch of memes right now. I'm not sure what's going on. Because somebody explained this.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's just like, is it just like a boat came and then it just got turned the wrong way and now it's stuck? Is that what it happened?
I heard it was basically the wind, right? I heard it was the wind, right? That
kind of
stuck to
the wind blew it over?
Yeah. There's like a sandstorm or something.
Yeah.
But it's all over.
It costs about $400 billion. It's costing countries and stuff like that. Like, I think apparently it's one of the really popular canals. The oil goes through there.
And I get it, but like, why can't they just pull it out?
That's true.
They get a tugboat and just pull it out. Isn't that like
maybe it's one direction only?
I think it was just lodged into the side so hard that they try to even like bulldoze or, you know, get those crane thingies and tugboats, and they couldn't get it out for 6 days.
Wow. So, and it just like, and as of today, it just got like today, they were like, oh, we got the boat out. And I'm like, really? Like, I think I could have came up with an idea to like pull this boat out of this canal. I don't know why it's taking so long, but like, I don't know anything about it. All I know is that like, okay, yeah, there's a boat stuck in the Suez Canal, and there's a bunch of memes going on that we can't get it out. But I just don't understand why
a bunch of graphics cards stuck in the ocean. People waiting for their graphics cards.
That's where all the PS5s are. We don't know where.
There you go.
We're like, oh man, we can't get a PS5. It's because they're all in the Suez Canal right now.
So how about you, Ryan?
Let's see. I have a lot to rant about.
There we go.
One, I want my air fryer. That's this girl needs to give me. she got drunk.
Okay.
She got drunk in kickball. She's my friend. We went out, and then I had to drive her to like 2 a.m. trying to find her food because she was hungry. And the only reason I was there was because she was going to give me an air fryer, and I didn't take it at kickball. I was going to take it after the bar, but she was too drunk to drive. So then I drove her to McDonald's, slept in the car till like 5:30 a.m. And
what?
I was so pissed at her that I didn't even take the air fryer. I was just like, you keep it. I just want to go home. Just drive home. So I want my air fryer.
Wow. So she's giving you an air fryer for free because you drove her to get food, huh?
No, she's just giving me an air fryer for free. I didn't have to go through all that trouble for an air fryer. I got stuck with all that trouble for an air fryer.
Was it worth it?
I don't think it's worth it at all.
You can get an air fryer for like $30 on Amazon. Like it's
I know. I think I wasted more time. I was so tired the next day. I mean, thank God I had it off, but still.
Nice.
My second issue that's bothering me is that I am not my nephew's favorite uncle, as he told me.
Just found out today? Yesterday?
No, he told me like a couple months ago.
Oh.
But I'm his only uncle, and that's what bothers me.
What? How is this possible? Dude.
Got demoted.
They call other people like Theo something, so that's not his uncle.
Oh my God.
So I'm not even his favorite uncle. But
he's your only uncle. Yeah. I was going to say, like, my brother's kids, like, I'm the only uncle, so I have to be the favorite uncle. But, yeah, now you're saying, like, it's not even, like, a necessity.
It's not a sure thing, man.
Not a sure thing. All right, I got to call up these kids and like, buy them some presents or something.
How about you, GC?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one thing I was talking to my wife about this is like, man, technology's got to slow down a little bit, all right? Like, what I do for work, so I work a lot with technology, and right now it's like I've always got something new to learn, you know? Like if I want to leave or if I want to do something else, there's always a next new hot thing, you know? And it's like, damn, bro, like, shit, like what I learned like 2 years ago is no longer the cool thing. It's no longer relevant. You know, so it's like, damn, like, and the thing too is like, I can't compete with all the younger people. You know, the younger people got time.
Yeah,
got the energy and time. True. Yeah,
they have the energy. They have something to prove. They probably don't work a full time job, so it's like either they're students or something. So it's like, damn, you know, I wish I could have got that head start like they did. But yeah,
it's funny because like I'm sitting here, like I've been a PC guy for a long time, and then my new work. They use MacBooks for everything, and I just sit there complaining about how I hate my MacBook every single day. But then they're like, "Oh no, it's easy. This is what you do." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" Like we're getting to the point where like we're gonna be the boomers who need their like some younger people to show
Isn't
us how
crazy?
To do stuff.
Yeah,
we're getting there very quick.
I feel that with all the TikTok and, you know, the Instagram influencers, like, Jesus.
I still don't understand Snapchat. Like, I don't know what the point is.
I stopped using it.
Hey, it's relevant now to millennials, apparently. So
no, but actually, yeah, I get
they brought
it, but...
back. They brought it back more. It was dying, literally, like I think 3-4 years ago, and then it just revived.
I just
Tinder and Bumble has revived Snapchat. I'll just tell you that.
Really?
That's the reason you use it.
Bumble? I don't get it. I still get on Snapchat and I'm like, I don't understand why you want this to be deleted. In like, what is the point of sending a message that gets deleted instantly?
Every messaging app is like the same thing. I'm like, why don't you just text this to me? Why do I have to go through this one and this one and this one? And
I also don't understand like the Instagram stories. Like, I'm like, why do you have a story? Put it on your feed so I can see it like a week from now. I don't want to be like always on there to be make sure I see what's going on. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the stuff that disappears. I just want to see it. I think it's because I don't post anything that I want to disappear. Like everything I post, I'm like, all right, we can leave it there for a while. I don't care. But like maybe some people have other.
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, when you talk about technology, right? It's everything has its own purpose to a certain degree for certain people, right? And so, like you said, you know, the whole story thing, like some people, like it may be not as important, but you just want to share that with people. That's what you do it.
Probably. But then you could still share it with people for like in like a year from now, they come back and they're like, oh yeah. That's what he was thinking at that
point. I guess, but it may not be as cool like in a post, right? Because that stays there, you know? If you think about it, like technically, like the Instagram is like your
fake life.
Your fake life, you know?
And then it's supposed to be our fake life?
Yeah. It's supposed to be like, you know,
Ryan,
cool,
you're doing Instagram wrong. That's
Jesus, what Instagram, a boomer.
Instagram is your fake life, and then the stories is your fake instant, like right now. That's what it is.
Yeah, so. it's like you're wasted and you want everyone to know how good of a time you're having.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically what it is for me.
All right. My rant is that I hate Miami traffic a lot.
More than LA?
I don't know. This is a close one. Today, it kind of tied it because I was actually Sam's place and I was driving back early purposely to miss traffic, right? Left at the 3:00 and I was like, man, I'm going to get to Broward in an hour. That's like 45 minutes. No, it took me 2 hours to get to Broward. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
That seems like LA traffic.
I was so, but only what makes it worse, the drivers here is 10 times worse than LA.
Oh, they're not as aggressive in LA?
No. Yeah, no. In LA, at least they are aggressive, but they're not like asshole aggressive. Here, they're asshole aggressive.
Yeah, that's true. Miami is definitely like that.
So what makes you more fierce because you want to road rage more. So like,
oh my god, oh my god. just to interject real quick, the thing that drives me the most insane is like when, all right, let me try to be a respectable citizen of the road, right?
Yep.
I'm going to turn this lane. Let me put my lights on.
Yep.
As soon as I put my light on, the guy in front of me merges into where I want to go. It's like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So it's like,
it slows down.
Is this like,
he merges over and slows down. So you can't come over as well.
Well, and they don't turn their lights on either, though. So that, you know, what makes it worse. I completely agree with GC in this. Like, it's just, I don't know. So today I was, you know what? I haven't experienced road rage in so long. I was like, because I don't drive in LA as much, right? And so, and in Orlando, I-4 traffic is gone now, technically. You know, it's not really.
Oh, there's not so much traffic on I-4 anymore?
No, it's not as much.
Wow, that's nice. Okay.
Depends
there's,
upon the time.
There's some, but not as crazy as it used to be. How about that?
And it was never as bad as like LA traffic or Miami traffic.
No, but today, like literally, like I'm like, it was hitting my road rage instant. I'm like, mindset, I was like, I'm going to hit this guy. I'm going to get too close to him, check the hell out of him, you know, blocked him out. I was like, you know what? No, I need to get home safe.
I'm pretty happy I'm in San Francisco. I don't have to deal with traffic anymore.
You've been driving for like, what, 4 years, 5 years now?
I only drive to go out of the city. So then that's like maybe.
You go to Napa, right?
Maybe like once a month, right? Like it's not too
Must be nice. Yeah. Must be nice not to drive. I drive all day, so I'm not.
You drive for a living. That's what Ryan
like
does.
For a living, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm happy I don't have to deal with that.
All right. Well, listen, guys. Listen, we appreciate you know, I guess, guys coming down, sharing your story. One of the things, you know, just to wrap this episode up is like, you know, if we were to, you know, going to college, in a sense, like that whole journey, that experience, everybody has obviously their own little, you know, insightfulness to have to learn by themselves. And it's just crazy how we still end up meeting, you know, that network, right? And for just to wrap this episode up, I feel like that network, though, that we made in college will always remain with us the rest of our life, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that you guys, you know, are so close, like there's no replacement to that. So that's one thing that I'm jealous about, because I wish that I had that foundation of a brother that I can always, you know, rely on to go to, you know. It's like, it's kind of tough for me, in a sense, to kind of relate to that. But if you guys are, you know, you guys can relate to that because you guys have been through that process together.
Mike, you can't call me anytime? Come on, bro.
I can call you.
Anytime you need. I'm here, bro.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, you know, when you're talking about that, you know, the whole support system, you know? Like, it's different, though, you know? Like, because they got through that struggle, you know, in a sense.
Yeah. So. I get it. One thing I also take away from this is all of us just need to not listen to our parents, all right? Just don't listen to That's our true. Parents.
I know.
Do what you want to do.
Totally.
Yeah. I think, especially like if your parents haven't gone through the same thing, I think you need to figure it out yourself, because they may have an idea, but that idea might not be what's the right thing to do.
I guess it's part of growing up, right? That's what it is. It's part of growing up, part of, you know, just becoming more mature and become more self-aware yourself, though. That's for sure.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that they probably, they have the best intention for you. But once you as an individual are financially good, it's like, I feel like that's kind of like the golden shackles they have on you, right? It's like, well, if you have a problem, we can financially help you in case of, you should get out of jail free card. But once you are in that stage where like you feel like you're good, it's like, okay, now you're at this, you have this freedom where it's like, I can take my risk because I make my money, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have to depend on them.
That's true. All right, so last two quick things of it. Ryan and GC, if you were to leave a quick advice to the younger generation, what would that be?
Oh, man.
Just one quick advice.
Mike, what would your be, Mike?
Mine? Just try everything. That's how I learned. I just try everything, you know.
That's true.
Find out what you like. Find out what don't you like, right? So for me, you know, like it was like my part of my dating life, in a sense that I've pretty much dated almost every race, in a sense. Just because I just didn't, you know, I was very, I mean, growing up in South Florida, you know, it was a little different, you know, surrounded differently, you know, by different culture and stuff. And UF it was a whole different culture as well. So you can find any kind of people. So I feel like, you know, that just that alone, you just try everything no matter what. So
yeah, I can double down on that, where like I think, I don't know about the girls and all that stuff, like I think you should just try new things, right? Like in general, just get out of your comfort zone, and it will help you build character. Even if it doesn't work out, it builds character, and you'll just learn so much from being outside of what everyday life is like. I think that's what I would put as a takeaway.
True.
Yeah, for me, something I'm actually working on as well now, even, just do something you fear, not just your comfort zone, but if you're definitely scared of it, do it. Because the more you do it, the less scared you become of it, and the more you can accomplish from it.
Mike, we gotta go swimming or something. That's
true. Yeah. I'm not scared of swimming.
I'm scared of the water, so that might be it.
Oh no. So there's this one thing Ryan did, actually. I remember while we were still in undergrad, he actually performed at a talent show. You did you came out to Darude Sandstorm and did like a skating routine.
Didn't you perform that same show?
I don't remember. It might have been too. This is a weird coincidence because
it's a video. I want to see this video now.
It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same show, but you did it like the year before, and then I did it like the year after.
Yeah, is there a video? GC, can you show us a video?
There might be. I know there's definitely pictures on Facebook of when I did it and when Ryan did it, but yeah. Ryan ended up in the alligator. So, you know, the Gainesville newspaper on the front page.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It blew my mind. I was like, yo, it's my boy Ryan. That's the coolest thing ever.
I actually did a magazine interview after that with somebody else. Like in a magazine, and that just from literally like, you know, jumping into like, oh, I'm going to perform in front of tons of people on skates.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, but like just jumping out and doing something different, really.
Was that a plan for you that you wanted to do that, or something you were just scared of being on stage? And you
decided? I was actually so, I got a lot of anxiety. Yep. So I was actually so anxious. I didn't go to rehearsal. I didn't ever. I just performed that day.
You just winged it.
I had nothing planned. Wow. I just like, I'm going to do this move and this move at some point in time. And I just winged it.
That's nice. Amazing.
It was so good. It was so good.
Oh all my right. God.
So GC, so what's your advice for the younger generation?
I would just say, you know what, man, just be nice to people. You know, like,
be nice to people.
It doesn't cost anything to be nice to anybody. You That's never true. Know when someone's having a really shit day.
You don't know the story.
And, yeah. Yeah, you know, everyone has their own story, right? And like I said, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. Just be nice to people. You know, it could make their day. You know, have a little chat with them, make them laugh, and that's mm-hmm. it. Just don't be a dick. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, be a dick. There you go.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like it, like yeah. it's there's like a saying, like you put good out, you get good back. Like it totally happens. Like just being nice to people, like you don't know who they are or what can come back afterwards. But like I've found that like I've been nice to people, and then out of nowhere they'll come back and just help me out in a different way that I never knew, and there was no intention to it. I didn't do it because I thought they would help me later. But eventually, right. you put enough out there, like people will see it, and they're like, oh, this guy's a good guy, and then they'll help you out whenever you need it. And I think that's a good lesson.
No, that's totally. That's a good advice. So be nice, be kind. Yeah. For sure. Well, guys, appreciate you guys hopping on. Robert, you want to send them away?
Is there anything you guys want to pimp? You guys want to promote anything or put anything out there?
What's your Twitch channel, GC? People can follow you, you know?
Oh, no, not yet. I haven't streamed yet.
You gotta start with one follower, you know? You gotta start with some people, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if you wanna follow me on OnlyFans,
nice! Wait,
Joker.
Hey Ryan, do we get a free invite to that? Is that
yeah, we get discount.
Oh, of course.
Discount? All right, well everybody out there, like if you guys are watching on YouTube, we want you to smash that like button. You wanna hit the subscribe and give us a comment. Tell us how you felt about college, or if you're about to go to college, tell us what like your thoughts are, like what you're scared of or what you think is gonna happen. If you're listening on iTunes or any of the podcast apps,
Spotify or Google,
yeah. Just leave us a rating and give us some comments and if you want to listen to all of our other podcasts, go to our website www.gfothoughts.com.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Until next time, take it easy, guys.
All right, peace.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOTThoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.